And head coach Dan Quinn with us here. Devontae Freeman at the top of the show today in our player spotlight. And not as much fun today, maybe, as we had hoped. Dave and I got talking late in the ballgame yesterday about details.
Yep.
And is it fair to say it came down to details? I mean, everybody can see the plays.
You never know when those plays are going to come that change the outcourse, you know, of the game. And it could be in the first quarter. It could be later on in the game. You never know which one's going to go. So you just battle for it, knowing that if you can do right longer, that's the lesson that we got for the team. They had a fake punt that we were misaligned on. That's a critical one that you can't miss. So for us, we've got very good leadership on this team, and we'll respond and we'll be ready. But after tonight, it has to be done, and you have to move on and get the lessons out of it.
Dan, this was a Kansas City defense coming in that when you looked at the numbers, say, well, wait a minute, they're not that good. Well, yeah, they're pretty good personnel-wise, and they play the moments really well, like red zone moments. And they were tough on you yesterday in the red zone.
They were, and they've been a terrific team with the ball. So we knew that was going to be at hand. So when it went right down to it for the ball, that was one of the things we stressed to the team. I thought the running backs in particular ran really hard. They went after it. They took care of it. Our running backs were a factor, and then the screen game as well. But they're a good unit defensively. They played well on teams. We knew that it was going to be a tough, you know, go all the way down to it, and it did. As it goes down to it, you know, we ask the team again, what's the lesson and how do we improve from it, knowing that there's so much football out here for us this month, and we can't wait to get rolling.
It's interesting. We talked to Devontae about the big picture here. And as much as you want to limit the outside now, and I thought his point was pretty interesting, Arch, it's now right here. There's no need. You don't have to worry about all the outside because it's right here now, right in the middle lane in front of you.
And that's what you like. When it's right there in front of you, you're not relying on anybody else to do anything. And it comes down to us. And at the end of it, that's how it should be. And you're not looking for anyone else to do this or that. And you take care of your shop. You take care of, you know, what you want to do and how you want to play.
Ironically, I remember the conversation we had at the tail end of last year. Well, the boxing analogy, don't leave it up to the judges, right?
That's correct. It's Marvin Hagler, you know, in his first fight. You know, don't leave it up to someone else. And sometimes that's a good spot to be in.
Dan, my history around the game, you're never through learning how to play or how to do things in this game. There's always something else you can learn. That's something I've always appreciated about Matt Ryan. I think that Matt encompasses that. He always comes to work the next week. There's something else he can kind of apply to the game. I think that certainly would apply to maybe yesterday. A guy that's an outstanding player in Eric Berry found a way to steal the ball a couple of times from him. And I thought that was the first thing he said to me in the post game was, hey, I got to go back to work. There's more things I get better at. How much do you appreciate that and relate that to the fan that you're always learning no matter how long you've been in the league?
That's the truth. And coaching as well. And that's why Matt's such a great teammate and why so many of the guys here have his back, because he just battles for it. And when you have a difficult loss for everyone, it's a dark place that you want to come back to it. And the process that we go through to get ready is watching the film, telling the truth about it. And then you find the areas in your game that you want to improve upon each week. And honestly, that's where our intent will be heading into L.A.
You mentioned the running game yesterday. Everybody knows Claiborne's out a couple weeks, 3 weeks, hopefully, getting back at the tail end and then on into postseason. You've got to mix and match a little bit up front. How are those combinations? What did you think yesterday? What did you prep for during the week? And did it pay off for you? And are you kind of exploring still a little bit there?
We're definitely still exploring. Although we had, you know, a forced fumble and a sack, we didn't feel like, you know, our rush was there yet. But that's what we're going to do. And all teams deal with adversity and injuries and guys who get banged up. Mm-hmm. So it's our job to find the guys of what they can do and try to put them in those roles. And Upshaw's for sure been one inside that, you know, is able to do that. The run defense was good. And inside, I think they ended up with 68 yards or something in the run game on 20 carries. And that was, you know, a part of the game we knew was going to be important. But yeah, we're still working through that, and we'll get some guys back. But right now, the guys we have, we'll try and feature them in the very best way. Offensive line-wise, I thought, you know, for them to open up some holes 2 weeks in a row was going to be a real factor in this game. Freeman and Coleman getting them back, and Freeman especially, I thought he really ran hard.
It's the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with the head guy of the Atlanta Falcons, Dan Quinn. And Q, when you look at the receiver core that they deploy, and you compare it to the one you had the week before, it's so different. I mean, you had big physical guys. And then all of a sudden, now you got these little water bug guys. How hard is it to shift gears to take care of a couple of little guys like that that can run after catch?
It's important to understand your matchups and how they try to feature the slot players, the big guys. So, like, Arizona has some tall guys with Larry and Michael, and then they have underneath guys or guys who can try to take the top off like John Brown. So the way they use the featured players, how do you match up on them? And, Archie knows, it's one of the coolest parts about the NFL, finding those matchups, because the coaches are going to look to feature the players in certain spots, you know, to determine some coverage. So each and every week there's some different matchups, and we knew the tight end was going to be a factor, and we didn't do a good enough job on him, you know, for him to have 8 catches. That was too many in this game, but we were pleased defensively just to give up the 2 scores and, you know, play better in the second half, you know, not allow him any points in the second half.
You mentioned the run game. Second straight week, you've hemmed up the run.
We didn't play well at Philadelphia in the run, and there was an earlier game against Oakland that it felt leaky, it felt non-aggressive at times, and the tackling had to be on better and be on point. So we made that an emphasis for sure. Also, third down was an area we needed to improve upon, and that part's getting better too. So I think they were 3 of 10 or 11 yesterday.
That's right.
So that part's improving, and we still got plenty of work to do, and that's why we're excited, because what we can become
philosophically
the next month.
When you talk about third down, obviously, there's not some huge scheme change.
Right.
Is it attitude? Is it, you know, a guy here, a guy there type thing?
It's attitude. It's also one of the things that don't show up sometimes. How are you playing on first and second down to create some thirds and 6, 7, 8, 9, 10s, 11s,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to 1, 2s, 3s, 4s, where quick game comes alive, run game comes alive. So when you can make them play into your hand a little bit, that's a factor. Not a wholesale scheme change. It's having a
right.
real a better understanding that communication's improving in terms of the routes and the formations too.
Everybody's bothered by injury throughout the year, and sometimes it hits early, sometimes it hits late. Doesn't really matter. It's a matter of attrition, and that's why you do such a good job putting your team together with some depth in what you have. Can you give us some idea of where you are and how concerned are you that maybe some of this is long-lasting?
From an injury standpoint, we'll find out more as we get through the week.
Sure.
Jake Matthews was hurt. He wasn't able to finish, but we hope that's a shorter-term thing. Sanu and Julio both had an injury of a groin and a toe. We're hopeful that they're not a long-term thing as well. On the team, we treat it as a 63-man roster, not just a 53 because of the practice squad as well. So we know that every team has to deal with them,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a fact of playing this league that the injuries happen and how you manage them. That's our job, to help put the guys in the best spot. So Thomas and his staff have done a good job of putting together a deep group of guys to help get us ready.
Dan, give the fan some kind of idea how you guys travel and still are able to take care of the players, because it's amazing to me nowadays how good the medical staff is at keeping – I mean, guys will be getting – they can get treatment on the plane.
They
do. It's amazing what they can do.
And, yeah, back in your day of the North Dallas 40 right now.
Slap an ice bag on it. It's usually something I dug out where the vodka was being stored. I put an ice bag on it.
I think you just got compared to Seth Maxwell.
Marty and the training staff,
yeah.
they've got an army of guys. They're just here to help the guys recover, the rest, the treatment. And the players recognize that's an important part of their responsibility to one another to get right.
Mm-hmm.
That process, we'll head out on Friday to go to the game, but on the plane, at the hotel, the people that travel with us, is all designed to help the players be at their very best. So they take that role seriously. This game, it's grit, it's toughness, but it's also getting your heart right, your body right, your mind right to go battle for it again, and we'll get there.
It was interesting talking to Free in the first segment today about what did he say? I knew football, but I didn't know football. You know, I played football, but I didn't know football. And that's just year one to year three for him. How important is it, some of these older guys you've got, to deliver that message of being a professional football player as it relates to not just health, travel,
yep.
all the things that go into this
it
here
is,
at this point in the season?
It's really important. I can totally relate to Free. I'd coached college for, I think, 7 years before I went to the 49ers, and it was Bill Walsh and Terry Donahue, Steve Murphy, this veteran group of guys. I thought I knew some football, and I didn't know football like that. So I can relate to what Free's saying, where it's a different level of it. The value that some of the veteran players can give to the young players is understanding all the things that go into it. It's your preparation. It's the way you know, use the treatment. It's the way mm-hmm. use the coaches in terms of getting there. You know, I need to ask the question. Don't just sit in the meeting and if you don't know something, not say it. So guys like Dwight are a real factor, you know, that they can help a person like Vic to understand what needs to be done, or the connection that can come from a guy into his second year like Grady Jarrett to help Keanu Neal. This is some of the things I experienced in my first year. Now I'm better at it going into my second year.
And I would assume that would flow over into what's going on outside the building. When you start talking about, okay, Tampa won and you're tied, but you have the lead, all those kind of the scenarios that are going on with four games left, I would assume you're depending on that as well.
We totally are. And having the intent where your responsibility inside the building, outside the building, has to be on point, knowing that you're playing for something bigger than yourself. And it's your responsibility to make sure you're taking care of your teammates and knowing that you're going to be at your best for them. And if you're not, then you're BSing yourself.
Do you find it's tougher to flush a game like yesterday out of a system of a young group, or is there any comparison? Doesn't matter whether you're older or younger. Those are hard to – it's like George Allen used to say, you lose a game in the National Football, you die a little bit. Maybe just your liver or something, but you die a little bit.
Sometimes you don't have a good place to put a loss right after mentally, but that's our job and our responsibility. Knowing after today, all of our focus, all of our intent, all of our preparation goes on to the next performance. Once you do that, you're able to reset and get all yourself ready to play the next one. If you linger too long and worry about the things, way back, it's just going to jam you up. So we try to make what we're doing our primary purpose.
You and I have not been to the L.A. Coliseum. The Soda Springs Slinger has been to the Coliseum. Tell us about the Coliseum.
Well, the Coliseum, it's big.
It's iconic.
It's big. Yeah, a lot of obviously Super Bowl. The first Super Bowl was played there, and so there's a lot of history around it. USC plays their home games there. I don't know if you know that, but
I'm kind of looking forward to going.
Coach. Yeah, too.
I mean, what
Olympics?
The Olympic Games. Yeah,
two of them.
Yeah, Edwin Moses went in the 400-meter intermediate hurdles.
That's right.
Easy for me to say.
Yeah.
What when you think about going to a aside from the fact it's a business trip for you and you got one thing on your mind, let's go beat the Rams. When you think about a stadium like that, go to Lambeau or go to LA Coliseum, what do you think about?
I guess when you walk in the first time, you knew there's been a lot of history of football here. And then once you get into the game, you're into the game. But it is fun to go into a place for the first time, into a new stadium. All the other ones that the venues are at, with the exception of Minnesota's new one,
right?
I haven't been to. So we're looking forward to it. And for years, I was in the – not years, but for a while, I was in the NFC West when it was trips to St. Louis.
Yeah.
And so I have some familiarity with the team, but not in L.A.
Well, that was the question I was going to ask you. The venues changed. The locations changed. Philosophically, not a lot has changed for that team, right?
They're still aggressive defensively. They
right.
still have got, speed, especially with Tavon Austin at the slot. They've got linebackers that can haul. New quarterback and new running back who's, a handful. But we're looking forward to the matchup. We really are. At this point, it's into December, and everything's right there in front of you, so your intent, your focus just goes really to this game.
Have you gotten to – I think you probably got there earlier in the year, Q, but it seems like it's more about what you guys do on offense and defense. And I know you game plan and you've got an idea what the other team's going to do, but if you do what you're supposed to do, it seems like you're in. You got a chance to control virtually every game you're in,
and that's how we like it. And that's what the message is with the team as well. So we know we're going to attack in all three phases. But we're just going to play it this week, and then we'll go into the next week and do that one too. But we're excited where we're at.
You mentioned the location. It's been interesting. I was looking at their schedule last night. They beat Arizona on the road, beat Seattle for their first win in their first home. I mean, they've. For a new venue and a new tradition, so to speak, they've done a pretty good job of creating an environment that makes it tough to play.
And those teams are always tough.
Mm-hmm.
They're physically tough teams, O-line-wise, defensively. Like, that's their outfit. They are a tough group and have been for a long time. Just, the style and the attitude that they play with, their linebackers can fly. Donald and Quinn on the inside mixing it up. So we know it'll be a matchup for sure, but, we got some matchups too. All right.
You mentioned the quarterback, Jared Goff, the number one pick of the draft out of Cal, will get the start, I would assume, this week for the Rams. You had a rookie quarterback 3 weeks ago in Carson Wentz in Philly, then two veteran quarterbacks, been around a long time. Here comes another rookie quarterback. This one's a little bit different, though, but he hasn't played all year. Wentz was a guy that had a lot of playing time this season under his belt. Anything different with this guy? You don't have a bank of film to watch on the kid.
Yeah, the things that we do have, you can see the athleticism. You can see where he can really rip it. He can sling it. He's got touch on some of the deep balls. like when he's, you know, in quick game, the speed and the accuracy that it comes out with, you can see why, you know, he was selected where he was. And as he's developing into the position, you know, those are the players that just keep improving as they're going. So we got plenty of film, you know, after a few games now to get ready.
The Rams are, by the way, 4-8, lost in New England yesterday 26-10. Goff has started the last two ball games. Mm-hmm. Road losses in New Orleans and of course yesterday.
Not very easy places to go play either.
No, I'd say if you're going to give him his first two starts, you might want to order up a little friendlier environment than New Orleans and Foxborough, but so be the schedule as it falls. When you talk about to your team about the dynamics of the latter part of the season, how much of it is mental and how much of it is physical at this point?
I think it's totally where we go from here will be related to our work, not to our talent. And that mindset, that attitude of where we go is what I shared with the team. So the tighter you are, the faster this happens. And we got a very tight team. So for us, it's all about the work that we put in over this month, which kind of propels you to the things that are down the line. But don't waste your time thinking about the things that are down the line. It's right here, right now. That's where it's at.
Dan, how much of setting the table with the work ethic and how you want to work, I think, is important, because you guys have been very consistent on how you do your stuff each and every week. You've talked about that, and it's evident in the way you played. Now you get limited in some of the contact you can do late in the season. That's the CBA, and that's the life you live in now.
Yep.
How difficult is it now to prepare in the back half, a little less physical maybe?
Not as much
practice
as you think, because that's our way now. You know, that goes through the off season with the OTAs. That goes into training camp, where not every practice is a padded one and only one during the week. So it's about our timing. It's about our speed. It's about our leverage. You know, those are the smallest of details that you think about, your footwork, you know, in the run game, the leverage and how you're tackling a person, getting into those right spots.
The leverage in the run game, obviously something that has shown up the last couple of weeks. What have you seen? Who stands out to you? Is it a combination of guys, or are you seeing something in particular here that's helped you the last couple of weeks?
We'll hit you on both sides. On the offensive line, I thought Alex Mack, he had some real finish points yesterday where he's able to get his head around and get going. Andy Levitre's been another one in the run game that has been very physical, getting up to the second level. So those inside guys, in the run game has been significant. And then over on the defensive side, I felt more, Grady Jarrett's always been somebody inside that I just feel the strength that he plays with. He's able to shed guys. So, he's somebody that certainly jumped out to us.
You had a couple of interesting moments with the offensive line yesterday that jumped out on me. I think you had Ryan Schrader decide he wanted to run a wheel route for you once, and you got him caught downfield with a penalty. And then for whatever reason, they didn't see Alex Mack, who was down the field. I want to say, how does that happen?
I got to give Schrader his props. It was not on him. That was Coleman should have been going the other way on a swing. So poor Ryan got blamed for a penalty.
Victim of circumstance?
Yes. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time, but it was not his, it was not his foul, but he got called.
He was supposed to be out in front of that little swing screen, right?
Yes.
Now, how does Alex Mack get – was there a run-pass option there?
A run-pass game,
okay,
yeah.
Okay,
so,
he didn't get the call.
That's correct.
And they didn't see it, which is fine.
It's a hard one for the officials to see. So many teams do run-pass options at the line where the line's blocking the run play. They're throwing a bubble outside. So it's actually a pretty common not play, but foul that's been taking place throughout the league.
I want to ask a talent here. What is the grace period in there for how much will the official let, so the fan can kind of be looking for it? How far can a guy get downfield before
he's engaged with a blocker? He can stay on as long as he wants. So if I was engaged on to you
and had to start at the line of scrimmage,
correct, I could take you and go. Past that, we're not supposed to be 1 yard past, but I would say it goes into 2 and 3 at times.
I thought there were a couple of plays, and you guys run one too, where you have to time up the block just as the ball's thrown.
That's correct.
But I thought a guy got on a block.
So that's an example like where Schrader got out, but the back should have been going to his side, and where he was going to the other side. So when Matt turned and then had to go the other way, he was already down.
I got you. We're not going to take you into the pregame think tank that we have every once in a while about the officiating. But I will ask you this. In the last decade, has the game gotten significantly harder to officiate from your perspective?
It certainly seems the speed of all the opened-up formations can make it tough, where there's these bang-bang plays that take place all over, and 3 and 4 wide receiver sets that are going on like crazy. We've moved one of the officials to a different spot for his own protection, and we'll look to see if we add another one. Right now we're at seven, and I think we're heading towards adding an eighth, and I think that would only be in the benefit. It's a difficult job. I will admit this. For us, here we are as coaches and people on the sideline. Should we challenge? Should we?
Right.
And so we're asking the same thing. Did he catch it? Did he not? When we're trying to second guess what he just decided very quickly. So there's a lot that goes into it, and we know the guys work at it hard, but it's a tough job.
Yeah, I thought you handled that extremely well, by the way. Very good job there.
And I think, too, that you bring up an excellent point. The investigation, we talked to Rich McKay about this. The addition of the eighth official is obviously, it's benefited the college game.
Yep.
And I think it's something that would help at this level as well.
And we'll see where exactly behind the defense we want to position the umpire. The pass game, there's so much that happens inside and mm-hmm. in between the hashes. So that official is going to have to be very adept at what route some of the ones come. You can think the umpire used to stand about, 5 yards deep. And when the pass rush started, he moved up, was in charge of the line. So it'll be a challenge for that person if they're going to put them 15, 18 yards deep with all the in-breaking routes. How that official is used.
What's priority one this week? Obviously, get back to work, do what you do, but is there something in particular you'd like to focus on this week to get the week started?
Really just getting right back to the process. And so knowing we got a real way that we get ready, and that's part of our Falcon standard. So knowing your preparation, your mindset, all you have to do between tonight, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, before we get on this plane, all the things you have to do to get ready. So recapturing that standard of what we need to do to get ready to play is job number one.
It's not as much a discipline as it is, like we said at the top, it's almost like an attitude now, right? I mean, I think that probably becomes the most important trait of this football team for the remainder of the regular season.
And knowing that attitude, I got to do it each and every time. And it's not easy, but it'll be worth it. The more time you spend, the more preparation you go through. When you get to that state at the end of the week, you like what that feels like. Knowing I put the work in, I'm ready to go, now I need to go let it rip. And when you do that kind of preparation, you put the work in, it gives you the confidence, all right, I can't wait for this game to kick off. I'm ready to go. And that's what each player, we ask them to strive to get to that mindset.
Dan, we're all human beings. How much, and I know you probably stress this to your players, not to anguish over a play or two in a game. How much do you have to kind of remind yourself of that
I do.
We're single-minded here. We're going to go forward, and obviously we're going to learn from our mistakes, but we can't anguish over something that's already gone.
Yeah, I think some of the scars you never forget. I'm sure you have some plays that you're like,
absolutely.
That's just part of it. But you're able to put it into a spot and knowing, hey, we're on to the next, and let's go get ready to play at our best this week. Because anything that would limit you from doing that is only going to jam you up. So it's easier said than done, that's for sure. But we do know it shouldn't come down to one play. And there's all sorts of plays during that game, offensively, defensively, special teams-wise. There's plays all over to be made, and that's the challenge.
Well, the Falcons and Rams are going to play in Los Angeles for the first time in 37 years.
That's
on cool. Sunday.
Yeah, we played in the old day, the Anaheim. That's where we played. Eric Dickerson, he ran all over. Jeez. It was brutal.
It didn't go well?
No, not Eric Dickerson, no. That was not good.
How'd you play?
I threw it to my guys a few times. It was okay. We lost.
Coach, thanks.
Yeah, we'll see you this weekend, and always good to be on with you guys.
Yep.
Thanks, buddy.